Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
You know, the weather was bad here today, boys. But I'm here to tell you that my college roommate texted me this morning. I guess it was on Good Morning America. I don't watch that station because I'm forced to watch a different channel because of arrangements I made in the marriage department. But Good Morning America did a story on La Crosse, Wisconsin, because they got an ice storm and kids were skating in the streets.
That's awesome.
Could be worse, right?
That's awesome.
We got some rain today, but at least, and by the way, it's embarrassing when I look at the news this morning and realize that the soon-to-be third largest city in America has no drainage.
Oh, you're talking about Houston?
Yeah.
It's never had drainage, man.
You look at Highway 288, right before it gets to the 59 interchange, it's like a cesspool pond. And whatever the rocket scientist, when they were doing all this architectural design on 59, decided that if you do everything in concrete and you put up these neat bridges over it, that it'll look really cool, and didn't think about the fact that concrete holds water, and when it rains a lot and there's not any drainage, that 59 is going to become a swimming pool for automobiles, you're not exactly going to get a call from NASA anytime soon. Because that rocket scientist right there needs his head examined.
Man, the place floods bad every time. If it gets a little bit of rain, it floods bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
I-10 and Beltway 8, that's a place that I've had bad experiences.
Tell you what, I'll go back to the one where I almost was in the middle of it. The one that gets really bad is I-10 in Washington, right by Memorial Park.
Oh.
It becomes like the world's largest soup bowl.
Does it?
Yep.
Just glad I don't have to go that way.
People will still drive right into the flood.
Yes, they will. There's right. No hilarious. Question about it.
Get you
sad, but hilarious.
Get you a big enough truck.
So hopefully y'all are safe out there. Travis was talking about the fact that from a school perspective, everything was delayed 2 hours today.
Over in Fort Bend, you know, I'm in Fort Bend ISD with the kids. And, you know, I get up, I get the kids up at 6 a.m. and get them ready and prepared. And you know, my son sits there and makes himself lunch. He turns the oven on every morning so he can make him lunch for the day.
Cool.
And then and make his brother some lunch. But all of a sudden, it's 6:30, they're getting dressed, they're starting to come downstairs, they brush their teeth, they wash their face, and, you know, and all of a sudden, I get this call, and I'm like, well, I don't know this number, but it's here, because I'm going to let it leave a message. If it's important, it's going to leave a message. And I'm sitting there like, man, it's 6:30 in the morning. Who calls people at 6:30 in the morning? Right. It's so rude. And it's Fort Bend ISD. Today, the school will be in, but we'll be 2 hours behind, and the buses will also start 2 hours later than it does. And now I'm sitting there like, I got these kids that are fed, red, and ready to go, and I still got 2 more hours with them. I'm like, dude.
I was just glad that the Montessori school was open this morning, because I'm with you. I'm up at 6 a.m., and I'm changing diapers and putting on outfits and feeding bottles, and all of a sudden I'm like, man, Martin Luther King Day was one thing where I had her for the whole morning, but if I had her for that little girl could be a handful.
Man, I'm telling you, man, that's why I tell people, man, you got – wives that don't work or wives that do work and still like being a parent now, I respect the things that my parents did even more.
You're absolutely right.
Because, you know, it's different now. I mean, yeah, I played, retired, and, you know, really, this is not really work. But, you know, like, I never missed a meal. I never missed, like.
Well, first of all, Nick and I were never going to question.
Yeah, no, I never, but it's like, I never, and even my parents used to work late and you might get off at 5:30, and I used to be at my private school until hours, you know, when it's getting dark and everybody's like, oh, where's your parents at? My parents are like, I'm working. But as soon as I get home, it's, you know, I'm catching a whooping if my homework not done before they come pick me up from school. For some factors, I'm still at school. They got food ready for me. I got food, shower, go to bed, do it all over again the next day.
Yep. Repeat.
Rinse, wash, repeat.
Exactly.
Wash, rinse, repeat.
Hey, you know, 87's in the building. He could probably join us early.
Hurry up.
He's sitting there right behind Nick right now.
Hey, Doc, you ain't coming in? Oh, you watching TV? You want to watch Mello? You know, it's the only dude I know with a Steve Harvey afro that looks like it's like put on, but he got great hair. And then
Reed have great hair.
Andre, we got better hair than he do, though.
Uh-oh.
But he has.
But Andre Reed looks like he should be in the group with El DeBart.
Yeah, but Keenan got one of the best fros you could ever have in your life.
And when he wants to, he can make it do that pebbly thing.
The what?
Like the mini Hellraiser when he does the little pebbly thing to to it? Where instead of being smooth, when, it gets kind of
little twist.
Yeah,
oh, you mean like with the sponge?
No, not quite. No, he knows what I'm talking about.
Kids use a sponge now. I mean, first time I seen that done, I was at a school in Jackson, Mississippi.
Boy, you are storytelling your ass off today.
Yeah, man. You know, it just got a lot
of Salisbury's water.
Salisbury has some great water today, man. That water is awesome. Yeah. But our school, Jackson, Mississippi, and I see this kid pull out a car wash sponge, had holes in it. I'm like, what is this kid doing?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, man, it's for my hair. I said, what happens to a brush or a comb? He's like, no, this is what we do. And he just starts rubbing the sponge, and it creates the little circles, the little balls in the hair. And I'm like,
wow.
And then all of a sudden, now I look, and they sell the sponge like that, but it's already got holes in it. I never knew.
I didn't.
Until now my kid's using them. I'm like, dude, you know I used to get whooped
for not having my— I saw Nick using it the other day.
No way.
Yeah.
That's how you get the knot?
No. That's just not nice. Nick, that's absolutely mean-spirited. I did not say that.
You set him up for it, though.
Hey, I did not.
I messed with you.
I set up the fact that you were using it and you don't have hair.
Hey, he bump said it, and I just spiked it. Now, all of a sudden, it's my fault. All this mean-spirited. Nick is part of it. Is this not the barbershop?
Yes.
Is this not the barbershop?
Or the living room. If you say the living room, now the tweets are going to come.
Is this not the living room?
There you have it.
You know what?
All right, I want to run this by you, too.
Let's say Jackson.
Did y'all see what happened at the University of Oregon?
Yeah, and them boys got their rhabdo.
The what?
The dreaded rhabdo. That's what it's called, rhabdo.
Okay.
Of the muscles when it's— – my sister has it.
All right, so for those of you that didn't see the story, the University of Oregon had several players admitted to a hospital because they were required to finish their off-season workouts, which were described by multiple sources as that similar to military basic training. One included up to an hour of continuous push-ups and up-downs. The sources said that some players passed out. Others later complained of discolored urine, which is a common symptom of rhabdomyolysis.
My sister has it.
Okay. After testing, others were found to have highly elevated levels of creatine kinase, an indicator of the syndrome. Since then, after a lot of attention to the university and their new football coach, the strength and conditioning coach has been suspended. Joe Thomas, the lineman for the Cleveland Browns, said, whoever's behind this should absolutely be fired. Has nothing to do with football. Where is the NCAA to get involved in this? How about protecting athletes instead of your paychecks? Your thoughts.
The wussification of America.
Okay.
Is the end of the day is, okay, the push-up foolishness is crazy, but I've been through mat drills, and mat drills have killed a man before.
What are mat drills?
The most intense workout you could possibly ever do in college football. Okay, and they literally, we show up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we work until 6:30, and we keep on work, no water, heat on, turned on the building, and we worked, and we worked, and we worked. But now all of a sudden, these new kids, they too good to work. They too good to go out there and grind. They too good to go out there and push on through. You know what I mean? We never straight, what, man? I understand he might have went a little bit overboard with the hour straight push-ups, but the up-downs, I'm an up-down SOB, and I'll make you up-down all day long if you're one of my guys, if you don't even do what you're supposed to do.
So new coach Willie Taggart.
And he's a great hire for that school.
Entering his first year as Oregon's head coach.
He ain't even been there for a month.
Visited the hospital to visit the three players, offensive lineman Doug Brenner and Sam Putasi and tight end Cam McCormick, who remained hospitalized as of Monday night, said to be in fair condition. Putasi's mother told the Oregonian, the newspaper in Portland, that her son had been diagnosed with rhabdomyolysis, which is caused by a breaking down of muscle tissue that leads to leakage into the bloodstream of muscle contents. Willie Taggart, the head coach, expressed his concern. The strength coach has been suspended. But a junior cornerback, I'm going to screw this up, but Ugochukwu Amadi said the workout was not even what the media is portraying it to be.
Because I'm going to tell you what happened. Those guys who probably had all of that are them same guys who probably hadn't done nothing or hadn't been in no workouts. They know when this was coming. You can't get drunk, high, and eat yourself into oblivion for a month after the football season, month and a half, 2 months, and all of a sudden, no, you know when the workouts are starting back to get back into shape. You can't come just willy-nilly with it. Hey, come on, man.
It's just like the Rockets last year.
Exactly.
Show up for training camp and everybody's 15. Plus 15.
No, that's not happening.
There's no freshman 15 this man, in Pro Bowl.
This man, Willie Taggart, has been tasked with bringing this program back into prominence. He's been tasked with doing the hard job. And you know what? Maybe the guy might have went over the top, but I'm not tripping, bro. I mean, they got to figure it out, man. They better get their mind right.
Quentin, you know, Quentin wants to get in on this real quick before we hit break. Quentin, what's up?
Yeah. You guys there?
Yeah, Quentin, turn the radio down. What's up?
Yes, sir. Hey, you guys are talking about that Oregon. You know, I think that's wrong for them to suspend that coach. Kind of like you guys are talking about how these kids nowadays are really, really soft.
It's softer than quadruple cool to Sherman.
You know these guys are supposed to be college athletes. And they're going to school. Yes, I know they're going to school for academics or whatever, but they were given a scholarship because of their athletic ability. And now, when they put it to the test, these kids just fold up. I heard y'all mentioning that that if you didn't have your homework done before they picked you up, you got a whooping. You know, a lot of people don't recognize that terminology nowadays because they don't discipline their kids now.
Oh, man, I still whoop my kids. I ain't
tripping. I'll hang up and listen up to you guys, see what y'all got to say.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Quinn. Great call. No, look, and that's the thing. I take it all the way down to what we talk about with interns, too. You know, and Nick and I were talking about this. And I've talked about this in previous jobs. When I was an intern trying to make it with the Portland Trailblazers, if you asked me to be up at 6 a.m., stay doing things for the organization until 11 p.m., and in between do manual labor like lift copy paper boxes or pallets or whatever, I'm doing it because I'm trying to get my butt in the door, right?
No question.
The wussification of America and millennials has changed so much that people are afraid to ask an intern to go get coffee. Or, God forbid, in my last job when I said, hey, can you give me I need one of those copy paper boxes. And they looked at me like, and? And I'm like, I'm sorry. He goes, I was hired as an intern to learn and to do real work, but I'm not lifting any boxes. Man. I was like, let me just tell you something. That just shows me so much about your work ethic and the fact that you're willing to say that to someone that you would like to work with someday. In my mind,
it's a different world,
bye, Felicia.
But exactly.
Bye.
Because my whole, you're right, Nick, it's a whole different world. Because when I came in the league, you did what the vet told you to do.
No question.
You made that run. I don't care what it is. You made that run to go pick up the chicken, go pick up Frenchies across the street. You made that run when Krispy Kreme wasn't here. I mean, when they were still here and they were everywhere, you made that run to go get them 5 boxes of Krispy Kreme donuts. When I was in college, you came to school, you knew good and well, I got to shave my head. I got to do the things I got to do. And we'll get back to it more from the commercial. We got to go because we were up against it, man. I see the 11 up on the board, man.
We'll get back. That's not a phone number. And at the same time, Keenan McCardell will join us for an extended stint so that we can continue to talk about what you want to talk about. And let's be honest, what we want to talk about, too. We're here till 4 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
Zach.
Wait. Hold on here. Is this the barbershop? Is this the barbershop?
Yes,
it's the barbershop.
Yes.
I mean, we can't talk straight in the barbershop. Then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else. You know, this ain't nothing but healthy conversation. That's
yeah,
all
you got to tell who's the pop doc.
It ain't nobody exempt in the barbershop. You know that. Ain't nobody exempt. You can talk about whoever and whatever, whenever you want to in the barbershop.
Why you got
to
tell who sound like this, Eddie? You know you're wrong. Keep on walking. You're wrong by yourself this time, pal. I ain't with you. I'll tell you one thing. You better not never let Jesse Jackson hear you talking about that.
Man,
just a sense of humor or get mad because you didn't create it. Get upset when we talk about the barbershop, the locker room, and the living room. That's what we're talking about. And we're not talking about the locker room that nobody has any business getting into, but we're talking about the talk when guys are just sitting around their lockers talking about what guys talk about. And that's what we do. Keenan McCardell now joins us along with Travis Johnson, Nick Sharara, and myself for his normal Wednesday stint. K-Mac, welcome back.
Thank you, guys. What's up, man?
You heard it, but we've been talking about a lot of things. I want to get your opinions on a few things. We're just talking about that Oregon situation. You coached in college football very, very recently, so your thoughts on that whole thing?
You know what? This time of the year for college football, you know, is a tough time for kids. You know, this is where we, as coaches, get those guys in shape, you know, and because they've been off. If they hadn't been to a bowl game, they've had a long, holiday time. So it's time to get them back in shape and get them going, because spring is right around the corner. People don't think so, but spring football for college is right around the corner.
No question.
You know, right after National Signing Day is what, February 1, and right after that, they're starting to prepare for spring ball. So these kids got to be in shape before February.
Sure. And here's the thing, to Trapp's point, which is a very, very valid one, if you come into those workouts in shape, they're going to be tough, but you're going to be okay.
You wouldn't have a problem.
You come into those workouts and haven't done anything and are not in shape, these things happen.
We, you know, in Maryland, we didn't go into mat drill. We had the gym drill. Yeah. So it was a little bit more intense than, I mean, not, I wouldn't say a little bit more intense than the mat drills.
Oh,
but the mat drills are up downs, you're rolling, you're doing all
no,
that.
No, we did, but that was half of our, we just, yeah. We called everything, our whole thing was, mat drills was what we called it.
Yeah.
But we had half of it on the mats, half of it in the gym, and it was, I'm telling you, I've seen a grown man sit at the top of a stairway and tell him, say, guys, hold on, and throw himself down the stairway just so he can roll his ankle to get out of it. I've seen a guy run into a wall so hard, knock himself out, and the coach wakes him up with smell of salt. Take that group back. Go back and do it again.
I've heard some things. I mean, when in college, we had some crazy mat drills, you know, and in Maryland, we had the gym drill. So, you know, it was a lot of running, constant. Like Trav said, for about an hour, hour and a half, it's straight running, yelling.
Has it changed at all now? We call this the wussification, right? But just like NFL has changed the amount of days you can practice in pads and hit and do all the contact drills and everything like that. But colleges, they really restrict.
They watered it down too, though.
Yeah, it's similar, right?
Yeah, you know, for the contact, you know, you got your 20-hour rule throughout the week. And a lot of guys try to make sure that your kids are, you know, not getting a lot of banging during the week because you want them fresh on Saturdays. Uh-huh. You know, we at Maryland, we went to a morning practice. So we're over at 5:00. We are on the field at 7:10. We're off the field probably about 10:10, or maybe I would say we're in the locker room by 10:10. So we're probably off the field probably somewhere around 9:50, somewhere like that. But you know, it's just how you treat your kids. I mean, you know, how you want those guys to be on the field. Do you want them to be aggressive? A lot of these guys right now, when you're running spread offense, it's not a lot of hitting in practice. Uh-huh. The tough teams like the Alabamas, the Michigans, that are more of a pro style offense, I guarantee you they're hitting. They're having a lot of 7-on-7 individual drills with the O line, D line, and the running backs. You know, so you know it's changed. You know, if you want your team to be physical, you gotta practice that way. And I think you know what Coach Taggart is doing in Oregon, I think he was trying to set the tone, because we had made a bowl. You know, you're on vacation.
Yep.
Guess what? I'm here for a reason, because the last guy wasn't getting it done. So it's my job to get it done, mm-hmm. so we can be back in the hunt for a national championship.
And definitely in order to do that, because they have all the facilities. They have all the resources.
They have all the resources and stuff like that. You know, it's kind of funny that you know, some kids like to cry about the hard working drills when there's no media attention around. They tend to, like you say, the wussification.
Yep.
But when they're out by themselves, they got all the cameras out showing everybody what they're doing. You don't need to show the cameras what you're doing. Just go out and work hard and do the things that you're supposed to do. I mean, you don't need to self-pub yourself. I mean, I a lot of these kids think that's what coaches want to see.
Yeah.
Coaches don't want to see that. Coaches just want to see
hard-working
kids.
I also want to get your opinion on the Antonio Brown thing.
It was a immature thing. I really do think it was a very immature thing. You know, Mike said, you know, it was a very selfish act, which I think it was, you know, and you know what? That's social media now.
Yeah.
That's the way the game is going.
And I said it's a fine line because of the fact that the networks promote and want guys on the buses and doing all this stuff so they can put it on the national broadcast. But the guys get the idea in the back of their head, well, we can do that for that. We can do it for ourselves, too. We can put it on our own Facebook, our own Twitter, our own Instagram and Snapchat.
Yeah, you have to keep the things that we do in that locker room, in the locker room.
Yep. And that's Trapp and I said, it's never going to be PC or HR friendly.
No, it's never going to be that
no.
way. So, you know, I think, you know, Mike has probably had a talk with Antonio Brown.
Yep.
Antonio Brown, you know, he apologized. He understands that, you know, you don't need any distractions going into this game. That's
right.
That's what you don't want.
And you don't need New England with more motivation.
Likewise, that also. But you, as a Steelers, are playing really good football right now.
Mm-hmm.
No distractions. Everybody got to be focused in on their job. And you know what? He's the type of kid that'll go out and prove to people that, you know, it was a mistake, but I'm going to show you why I am the best.
Do you not think he's the best receiver in all of football right now?
Man, right now, I got to give it to him. I mean, he's number one in my book because for a guy his size,
and look,
he can dominate a game.
I think
any
he
kind
is too, but
wants.
I threw out the other name that people are going to throw, which is Julio Jones.
Yeah, but Julio consistency ain't been on that level.
Me, myself, I'm going to take Antonio Brown first. I love Julio also because I love the size, the power, the speed. But the guy that can really, really get it done is Antonio Brown because he's the guy that can create separation, can make the tight catches. I mean, and playing a game of receivers about creating separation.
You either created the start, or you get off, or the top of the route, correct?
And he can run.
Yeah,
he got great quickness. So I got to give it the number one to Antonio Brown.
And I said the other thing that I thought the best point in all of this, too, was what Ben said, which was you should have been in the room listening to the coach and me like everybody else because that's part of the team concept. And it's unfortunate that, you know, it takes away from a huge win and, like you said, a team that's playing at the top of their game getting ready for the AFC Championship. So we got a lot more to get to with Keenan. We'll get his thoughts on what happened over on Kirby. And we've got a lot of other things to get to as we roll down the line. We've got a half hour left to go on the show. We want you to be a part of it. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Keenan McCardell, Travis Johnson. And oh, don't forget the sponge on the head back there right now, trying to create those little knobbies on his dome piece, Nick Sharara. Nick just sent me an interesting stat tidbit that I'd like to throw out to those of you that care, which are the rest of you. Fourth season in the NBA for Giannis Antetokounmpo. I keep telling people this guy doesn't have any idea how good he is and can be. And I also keep telling people that he's still very, very raw. So at the same time, I have a little backup. I'm going to compare his stats to one James Harden when James Harden was also in his fourth year. Points per game. Harden averaged 25.9. Antetokounmpo currently 23.2. Rebounds, James 4.9. The Greek Freak 8.8. Assists, James 5.8. The Freak 5.6. I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, when this kid figures it out and starts polishing some things, he is going to be reckoned with for a long, long time. And if he and Jabari Parker can stay together and some of the other young talent they got on that team, you may not fear the deer now, but they're coming, and they're pretty damn good.
They're really good and really young, so you know they're gonna be around. I mean,
how about Brogdon from the young kid coming in as a backup point guard and killing it?
Yes, he has. So you know, Cleveland's trying to get the third wheel. You keep hearing that they want a third wheel a third facilitator that can facilitate the offense besides Kyrie and LeBron. If they don't get one, the playoffs could get interesting.
Tell you something, Mac. I watched these two teams play. I watched Cleveland and Milwaukee play back-to-back games, and everybody on the broadcast on both sides, because I intentionally watched the Milwaukee feed one night, the Cleveland feed the other night. Neither team wants to see the other team in the playoffs.
Right.
In a seven-game series, we talk about matchups and teams like the Rockets don't want to see Memphis because they're going to grind it down. Cleveland doesn't want to see a young athletic team like Milwaukee.
I'm with you. I mean, because they can get up every night, and Cleveland's gonna need a break. You know, I hate to say it. I mean, as you get older, you're gonna need a date. There's a reason why
they're resting LeBron a lot in the regular season, not making everything go through him, so that he's not drained by the time he hits the big time.
Yeah, because when he
in the playoffs,
I mean, when he hits the playoffs, you're gonna need that gas.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So here's the other thing people don't realize about Adetokounmpo, Trap. He's 6'10". This dude's playing point guard.
Point guard, 6'10".
And he is attacking the rim with authority. You see some of the dunks with the ferocity that he brings it to the rack at? Get the hell out of the way.
If you're not there by the free throw line, guess what? You may get dunked
on. You ain't kidding. With his reach.
Hey, what they say, man? It's 18, clubs 18 and up. Don't get thrown out of there.
Don't get thrown out because he's going to throw it down.
He can go. So that's a big one tonight is the Rockets. Having dropped one, they should have won last night to Miami, opened up a three-game stretch where they got their hands full. They got the team with the most points in the paint in the league in Milwaukee tonight at the Big Sequoia. They also have the Golden State Warriors in a rematch of a game that they got in Golden State in double overtime earlier this year. So you know Golden State's going to be fired up on Friday night at the Big Sequoia. And then over the weekend, they go to Memphis, a place where they've already lost once, where they also lost at home this last week in a game that they were up almost 20. And there we got some fans that were a little sensitive today. Because really? I had the ability to call them out for a team that can't finish big games and a team that has some shortcomings.
Oh, yeah, it was, you know, we almost got in a fight early on. We got in here, man. People got called in, man, crying and complaining.
You're 32-12. Why are you picking on them?
Well, don't do it.
Not really picking on them. I mean, people, listen.
We're just keeping it real.
We're keeping it real. Listeners, you got to realize, you know, it's the regular season and you got to close out games. In the playoffs, the games are going to get even tighter. You know, and I think they're going to get even tougher. It's going to be a little bit more physical. So, you know, you can't lose a 20-point lead when you're the number three team in the West and trying to get to be the number one team in the West or get close to the number one team in the West, to be in the number one team in the West.
Yeah, for sure.
And right now, like you mentioned earlier, Joel, their next four games is not going to be cakewalks. You know, those are teams that
– it's another barometer test.
Yeah.
Because each team brings a different element that they have to – hone in on their skill sets on if they're going to be a competitive team in the playoffs. They got to hone in on points in the paint. We keep saying when the three ball's not falling, you got to attack the rack. Whether you're going on a low post or you're just trying to get inside in the paint, which they didn't do last night. Milwaukee's the best team in the league at doing it. Milwaukee's also a team that struggles like the Rockets at finishing games. So it's going to be interesting to see who gets out to a lead and who can hold on to it if they have it because we know that the Rockets lost a big lead to Memphis, and that's basically one of their calling cards this year. So it'll be interesting to see that. We talked about the fact that, and Nick's very adamant about this, and I've said this all along, they got to have a low post defender. Right. They got to have someone that can stop penetration in the paint, block shots, come over from the weak side. It'd be nice to have a guy that could go on the block and get you two if you needed it on the offensive side, but that's almost like an afterthought for all the other things that we're talking about, and they got to defend. They flat out did not defend last night.
They got to defend, and you know, with Milwaukee, it's a young team. They could run. They'll run with.
Oh yes, they will.
They will run with them all day long.
They are one of the few teams that will play at the Rocket speed and enjoy doing it.
But the only thing about Milwaukee, I don't know if they have enough shooters.
That's a good point.
To play with the Rockets.
Very good point.
Because
they might be Milwaukee. They might be the Rockets of last year.
Could be.
That's a great statement.
Right.
That's a great statement. And looking to add one piece that could get them over the hump.
Yeah, look, the trade deadline's not over for anybody. Milwaukee could add up. They got so many young players that can play that if they could get one or two shooters on the outside, that could enhance Jabari Parker and Adetokounmpo and John Henson and all the size that they have and Brogdon and all the guys that can play. Hey, they could do some things. I want to get your take on the Texans, too, because Bill O'Brien, now it's basically becoming official, is going to be the offensive coordinator, it looks like. So all of our hopes, dreams, and aspirations of them going out and getting someone that could open it up and do things differently, and maybe even a quarterback whisperer like Norv Turner, is gone. And then the fact that Romeo Crennel, who Trav and I went off on Monday just saying how phenomenal a job this guy has done, Trav basically said he got pushed up so that they could fulfill a promise that they made to Mike Vrabel, even though both guys are still going to be on the staff. You had an interesting perspective. I want you to share with others when we get back. We'll be taking a break. We'll be here back in about 2 minutes, 2-3 minutes, right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
From the locker room to the living room to the romper room, Keenan, Joel, Trapp, and Nick till 4 o'clock. And I threw it out there before the break, Keenan. I wanted to get your take on what's going on over at Kirby. I was very disappointed in the offensive coordinator position and the fact that Bill's going to keep it to himself. Travis and I already discussed that. So I want your take on that because you are an offensive guy.
Well, you know what? A lot of head coaches now are calling plays. You know, in Tampa, John Gruden called plays. He was a head coach.
But he still had somebody in name as offensive coordinator.
Bill Mirror was the offensive coordinator.
But they still had somebody under that position,
and
right?
I'll tell you this. Bill didn't do any game planning. And, you know, he was the offensive line coach.
Exactly.
I love Bill to death, but John put together the whole thing.
But just like Rico here, when he was here. I mean, the only person I think he let call plays
was Dennison.
Not Dennison. Dennison called no plays.
Oh, he let Kyle call plays.
He let Kyle call plays.
When Kyle was here, Kyle called plays.
Kyle called plays and Troy called plays.
Right.
And, you know, now Troy is the head coach at Air Force. Well, So he let Troy call plays with Kyle.
But it's not anything different from, you know, from him calling, you know, anything different than most other coaches do. And him calling plays, now we can say exactly that.
This is your fault.
This is your fault.
But here's the thing.
But, I mean, what if he calls a great game? I mean, honestly.
I'm just saying, from a fan's perspective, from a football perspective, he supposedly was calling plays this year, and we know what a disaster that was. So people were expecting change.
Because by halfway through the season, didn't he take over? Didn't he say he's going to start calling plays?
He took over halfway through.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, that's a small sample.
Small, yeah, you're right.
Now he's going to have
a full. And then coincidentally, when it started going really wrong, he goes, well, basically, it's a group effort. We're all inputting on it.
And to be honest with you, I think it was always a group effort, and he just took.
He took over
on game day.
It's like them old coaches when I remember Coach Bowden, he would have it set on. The only time he called a play is when he was ready for a trick play. He'd be like, oh, this is my play.
Yep.
You know, call this. And he'd be like, what?
Mike McCarthy calls plays.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I mean, and he has someone else do the game planning, but
Edgar
he's
Bennett.
In it. Yeah, Edgar Bennett.
Florida State.
One of my friends. Yep. And but Mike calls the play. So it's no different than him. Him calling him and or he have an offensive coordinator, he still take over. But now with him saying he's not going to have an offensive coordinator, guess what he's going to be doing? He's going to be game planning himself. He's going to be in front of the meeting room. He's going to be running the offensive meeting room.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It's a different animal.
It's a different animal when he's presenting each week of what he wants done and not somebody else is presenting it, and then he takes over on game day.
But you understand, too, where I'm coming from a fan's perspective and from a listener's perspective that love and follow this team. They're going to say we've already been through that rodeo.
They got to fix some things first on offense. I mean, they really do. I mean, let's just be honest with you. You got to fix your offensive line. You got to fix your receivers.
You better fix the giraffe.
Everybody knows that problem.
Right.
I mean,
that's why I thought Norv would have been a great guy because he's a true quarterback whisperer.
Even with the money problems, who do you bring in? Because, I mean, regardless.
Can I ask you to comment on what I said yesterday? If Jay Cutler's free.
You bring Jay Cutler in.
And Jay Cutler realizes this is the only. And Barry was not having this. And I said, look, here's the only opportunity in the league, or one of them, where you not only have a chance to start, but you can start and prove yourself, and you'll get paid next year, the following year. And you're going to get an opportunity to compete for the starting job, which is unlike almost any other position that's available in the league. So he can prove himself. He can come in for 7 or 8. And if he beats him out, you know, and he does well, you know he's going to set himself up to have another contract.
To come in for 7 or 8 million?
At least he gets a chance, because I'm thinking, I go 7 or 8 because it's backup money.
That's backup money, of course. Yeah.
But at the same time, give him a chance to compete for a starting job. Don't you think he'd take it?
Jay Cutler have his pick of the litter of any of those teams that need quarterbacks because Jay Cutler, he's not elite, but he's a dang good quarterback. And I think he is. Mm. I think the problem is he's a head case, but I think he is a dang good quarterback. He's better than all the quarterbacks we got here in Houston. He's better than, I mean,
the Jets quarterback.
All the Jets quarterbacks. Well,
so far, you guys haven't said a whole lot. So
San Francisco.
He's better than all San Francisco quarterbacks. Cleveland. I mean, but let's not forget what Kaepernick was just doing now. Well, before this year started,
when he still had a little gumption in the
I got a prediction that if Kyle Shanahan gets that job
in Frisco, he's gonna bring color in. Who you got?
He may keep Kaepernick. I got a feeling because he's a movement quarterback. He can get him on the roll, but Jay Cutler could be a nice fit there also because
he can move.
Because Dad had him in Denver and he knows the system.
And he knows the system and he trusts him. He knows. But Mike Shanahan ain't never do wrong by him now.
But Colin Kaepernick may have a second life with Kyle Shanahan.
I agree.
It just depends.
I agree. I totally agree, especially if they keep that running game going.
Right.
But
fixing the problem here, I mean, you can take the $6 million hit right now and get rid of Brock.
It's a $20 million, ain't it?
Well, it'll be after they break it down. After they break it down. But it shows you that you're telling everybody that you made a mistake. And everybody's going to say, well, we see that you've made a mistake. But you also got to give them a chance. You got to, and maybe with Bill taking over the offense, now it's one-on-one. Let's get this thing done.
Give him a chance to right the wrongs, fix the problems.
And you know what? Guess what? The market was down.
But you know what?
Look, it's like the stock market. The market was down this year, but you still made the playoffs.
But to your point about admitting that you made a mistake.
It's only one way it can go is up.
But when Bill O'Brien goes out and says in his press conference he's not ready to name a starter for next year yet, aren't you already admitting you might have made a mistake?
No, because that's coach talk.
Yeah. You want to have competition. You want to make him come in and realize. And
work.
This is not your job anymore.
I don't like what you're frowning over there.
It's not your job.
Your little game face is not necessary over there. We're just having a discussion.
No, I'm just saying, but that's coach speak. Like, you got to say that. You can't say, well, this is going to be my starter next year.
Most people are clamming already for Savage.
Yeah, but you can't just, even Savage out here, whatever. Everybody always wants the backup quarterbacks. At one point when John Elway played back, everybody was screaming for Gary Kubiak to come in the game. You know what I mean? Think about that. Let that simmer on you for a second.
Until the helicopter, Sage Rosenfeld's was supposed to be the next coming.
All those St. Pius ex-grads say they should have put Kubiak in the game.
All right, so Mac, on the other side of the ball, Trav and I were talking about it on Monday. What a great job Romeo Crennel did. Contract was coming up. Should have been rewarded. Should be back. Everything's the same. It's not. He's pushed up assistant head coach. Vrabel, basically seemingly on a promise, gets the defensive coordinator job. Your thoughts?
Wright got a raise. I would say he got a raise to be the assistant head coach. I mean, and to get pushed up and to be able to do some other things to help out Billy O, because Billy O's going to be more on the offensive side of the ball, trying to figure things out over there. He's probably going to help him out a little bit with running some of the stuff. But don't forget, that's a team over there. That coaching staff is a tight knit group. Romeo's going to be in there. He's going to be giving his ideas. He's going to be giving everything.
Well, you best believe if they start faltering on defense, Romeo's going to be calling the shots.
Yeah, but this is a thing that the Texans didn't want. They didn't want to lose a great coach, a up and coming young great coach that could one day be their head coach.
You guys believe that though?
You just never know.
Do you believe Vrabel is an up and coming?
Yeah, in this league, yeah.
In this league, okay. He is. Right. I mean, and then that's just where it's going to go. And you don't want to lose your hot. It's just like your draft picks. They get hot.
Yeah.
And they get to the free agent market. You don't want to let them get on the market. You got to keep them.
Reggie, you want to get in here and talk about Texans? What's up?
Yeah, how you doing? I want to touch on the Texans about this upcoming draft. What are the chances that they take one of the young quarterbacks in the draft like Patrick Mahomes out of Texas Tech, or Baker Mayfield out of Oklahoma?
Baker Mayfield's got a year left, does he not?
Let you guys talk about it.
You know what? I say they need to take a young quarterback.
You like the kid from Notre Dame?
I like the kid from Notre Dame, but he's going to be gone. The kid that I really like, I think they can take. He has some arm talent. He's going to need some development. It's Kaya out of Miami. I really I do.
Brad Kyle, yeah. No, yeah,
boy, he's stiff and his mechanics are.
But that
Brad Kyle got a lot of upside. He's got a whole lot of upside.
But
he looks exactly how Dak Prescott looked the year before.
But we both talked about he should have stayed.
And here's my surprise, and he's probably not going to be a surprise after this, is the kid from Wyoming.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty good.
He's a big-time quarterback. Yeah. I don't have his name, but I get it from you. But the kid from Wyoming is a big-time prospect. He has a big-time arm. He can actually go back. He was going to go back, but he's coming out because of the weakness of the quarterback class.
Okay. All right, so there's one to watch. What are you doing tomorrow?
I'm here, right?
Well, if you want. Travis said if you're here and I'm here, it's our time. So we asked today, so we might as well have it tomorrow.
We're going to be in the barbershop.
Yeah, we're going to be in the barbershop. And we're going to throw something out for you that's going to be a little bit of a fun and games movie kind of type deal that has already been started on Twitter, and we're going to follow through on the air.
It's Josh Allen. Josh
Allen. Josh Allen from Wyoming. Yes. Okay, a name to watch. All right, there you go, Reggie. There is your possible steal of the draft from a Texans perspective, from a quarterback. I want to tell you guys real quick about Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It's a phenomenal program, and it all works because of you. It's a program where if kids didn't do the right thing the first time with their opportunity to get an education, the Houston Can Cars for Kids program allows them to get a second chance at a quality education. And along the way, if they need book money, eyeglasses, hot meals, anything that they need to help them and enhance their ability to get an education, it'll be provided for them. How does it work, you ask? Well, it's all because of you. If you have a motorcycle, a truck, a car, a trailer, an RV, a boat, even if it's not running, sitting in your garage, your driveway, the backfield, anywhere in your storage unit, and you want to get rid of it, here's the best thing that you can do. You can call 713-225-4226 or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com and tell them that you have this vehicle that you want to get rid of. After that, it's all on them. They'll do the paperwork. They'll process it. They'll get you an unbelievable tax donation. And just for mentioning you heard it on ESPN 97.5, they're going to get you a special gift as well. And why do they do that? Because what they do is they take that vehicle and they turn it around and provide the resources to these kids trying to get an education so that they can have an easier time and a smoother transition into trying to get the schoolwork done that they need to get done to get a degree, to move forward, and to be a viable part of the community here in Houston, Texas. It's a fantastic program, and it only works because of you. So all you got to do, like I said, is call 713-225-4226 or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid. As you heard,
ESPN 97.5.